You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.
And it's time to kick off another episode of PGIM India Insights, brought to you by PGIM India Mutual Fund. Hi everyone, you've got me, Ahalya, keeping you company. But as always, for a very short period of time before I hand over the mics to our experts on the podcast. Now, today's topic of conversation is going to be very nuanced, but also very counterintuitive. I'm quite excited actually to hear what Ankit and our guest have to say. You know, the small and mid-cap segment has outperformed a broader index in recent times. We have many questions that come out of a phenomenon like this. You know, are valuations too high? Are there opportunities left that are worth exploring in this segment? Well, today's podcast is going to be all about how we at PGIM India are navigating the mid and small cap space at this point in time. So pay close attention, and I'm handing it over to Ankit now.
Thanks, Alia. In the last 10 years, mid and small cap index have given approximately 20% and 16% year-on-year return. But it is very important to note that there were times like 2008, 2011 to 2013, 2018-19, and obviously we all know the fresh, which is 2020, where COVID struck. These were the times where mid and small caps corrected anywhere between 25 to 65%. Welcome to PGIM India Insights. You are listening to Ankit Jain, and I have with me Vivek Sharma, Senior Fund Manager of PGIM India Mutual Fund, who is going to cover today mid and small caps and where do they stand on valuation front. Hi, Vivek.
Hi, Ankit. Thanks for having me.
So let me just, you know, deep dive to the first question which we have today on mid and small caps. After a dream run in FY24, where do you think mid and small caps stand on valuation front?
Yes, Ankit, you are absolutely right. Last financial year, or, you know, particularly last five quarters, mid caps and small caps have seen a very good runaway rally. And they are expensive, at least optically. However, valuation shouldn't be an absolute number, in my opinion. You see, a 50 PE stock necessarily be more expensive than, let's say, a 30 PE stock. What is relevant is the underlying sustainable earnings growth. A higher growth stock can command a higher PE, and hence valuation should always be compared with the growth to arrive at a conclusion whether a stock is expensive or cheap. So to answer your question, yes, there are pockets in mid-cap and small-cap space that are expensive, but because the growth is either short-term or transient, or B, narrative-based, wherein delivery of earnings hinges upon good things happening, you know. At the same time, we are also seeing some pockets where valuations are still reasonable vis-a-vis their, you know, sustainable earnings growth. So not all mid caps and small caps are expensive. Yes, there are pockets which are expensive.
Sure. In fact, that's a great learning for me and our listeners also, that a stock which is trading at 50 PE need not be necessarily expensive because the underlying growth might be either same or even higher. So that's a good point, Vivek. This brings me to actually my second question. So you spoke about, you know, there are some pockets which are still reasonable. So within mid and small caps, what are those themes which you think are still reasonable despite the run up?
So Ankit, you know, mid caps and small caps in essence are bottom up constructed portfolios. So themes, while they would be relevant, but bottom up constructed portfolios are a summation of your best ideas in each sectors. So we evaluate each stock on its own merit, and then we take a decision of whether to include in a portfolio or not. However, in general, we are positive on, let's say, consumer discretionary, healthcare and industrial space, but selectively. First, consumer discretionary, it's a play on the rising per capita income. And when per capita income rises, it has a higher elasticity on discretionary consumption. In healthcare, we are more positive on hospitals, you know, and to an extent, US generic space, because there we see a near to medium term impact on catching up, and either in, like, you are seeing drug shortages in US, hospital space has been in general underpenetrated, so sustainable growth can be there. In industrial, we are playing the revival of the manufacturing capabilities in India, buoyed by, you know, policy push, healthy demand environment, and import substitution in certain industries. However, we are mindful of the valuation that we pay here, because this sector has seen the maximum amount of re-rating. So we are mindful of what we pay. So as long as the growth is there, we don't mind being in that space.
Okay, so within, you know, the overall themes, consumer discretionary, healthcare, and specifically industrials is where, you know, we still feel that some pockets are still reasonable, though industrials are expensive, but where growth is there, that is still reasonable.
Correct.
Sure. So Vivek, you know, every week there are 5-10 IPOs hitting the street. And the IPO market is doing so well. In fact, we see the subscription numbers, you know, subscribe 100 times, 200 times. So as a house, are we participating in these IPOs?
Yes, Ankit, you're absolutely right. There has been a flurry of primary market issuances. You know, there is enough liquidity in the market. Valuations are very good. So selling companies or fund companies which want to raise funds, they are, you know, tapping the capital markets for the same. And we see all these new companies in, you know, all shapes and sizes. But most of them are in mid-cap and small-cap space, obviously, because these are smaller companies relatively to large caps. While we evaluate all reasonably sized companies, only those meeting our thresholds of, you know, corporate governance, ROE, growth, that only make the cut. Yes, we have been selective in IPOs. We don't want to participate in each and every company. And in some cases, we do make investments in the secondary market. For example, if an IPO, while we like the company, if we still don't get the full comfort, we wait for the company to list, see how the performance is, how the earnings delivery is, and sometimes we make investments in new age companies or disruptive companies, but post their listing. But to answer your question, yes, you know, there are a lot of IPOs in the market, but we have been selective in that.
Sure, that's an interesting point you made, you know, that within IPOs also, even if we like certain names, we wait for them to list, deliver for a few quarters and then, you know, get into them. It's always good to be cautious, you know, especially in a booming market like this.
Yes.
So, you know, this again brings me to an interesting question. You know, you've been talking about, you know, there is a valuation comfort in certain parts of mid and small caps. But what about large caps? If you look at large caps vis-a-vis mid and small caps, where do you find the valuation comfort more as we speak?
So last year itself, or even in the last 3 years, mid caps and small caps have meaningfully outperformed the large caps. Given the fact that the rally has been runaway, there is a valuation comfort which is more in large caps vis-a-vis the mid caps and small caps. However, not all large caps are cheap, and not all mid caps and small caps are expensive. Again, I come back to my point, growth is of primary importance. And, you know, that's the characteristics of large caps. Large caps are large caps for a reason. They have, you know, most of the time proven execution track record, good capital allocation, economies of scale, and they are often large behemoths. And hence, their percentage growth may be lower in certain cases. While in smaller cap companies, it may just be the opposite. So in mid-cap and small-cap space, you may find something which is innovative, disruptive, company where growth trajectory is superlative, but the size is small. So the way I see it, small-cap and mid-cap space both may offer higher returns, but there could be more risk and volatility. Large caps, to my mind, are more safe havens. But at this point of time, if I have to paint everything in the same brush, their valuations are more palatable than the mid caps and small caps space as a group as a whole.
Sure. In fact, that was a good point you made, that, you know, not all large caps are also cheap. And similarly, not all mid and small caps are expensive. So that's a good disclaimer which you gave, that, you know, if somebody wants to even get in mid and small caps even now, they would definitely offer higher returns in the long run. But it comes with its own risk and, you know, volatility.
Correct.
So, Vivek, this is one important question which I want to ask you and highlight to our viewers also, that in the last 18 months, there has been 6 instances where market has corrected more than 4% on a given day, and broader markets even more. But if you see, every correction is bought into, specifically in, you know, mid caps. So what are your views on the same?
Ankit, markets are clearly on a risk-on mode. Plus, there are steady inflows in mutual funds, in mid cap and small cap oriented schemes. So the corrections in general are bought in immediately, helped by available liquidity and increased risk appetite. But, you know, every correction buying into is not a worrisome phenomenon for me. As a country, are we on a growth path? Yes. As an economy, are we growing? Answer is yes. So in the short term, valuation may be influenced by, you know, narratives, but in the long term, it is the growth and the return ratios of a company that determine the multiple of a company. So as long as that is not under threat, we are not heavily overpaying, I will not be worried. However, I'll be wary where multiples are only based on narratives. You know, if earning delivery falters in such cases, you will see the double whammy of earnings cut as well as multiple derating. We would want to avoid those kind of mistakes. And as long as we are able to avoid such mistakes, I think we would have done a reasonable job.
Sure, actually, that's a good point, that, you know, in the short term, market can be irrational for longer than we think. But in the long run, if there is growth, if there are earnings which is coming in these companies, I think valuations will continue to, you know, rise, and eventually stock prices continue to give returns what earnings do in the long run. So I think that's a good point, you know, Vivek, you clarified on. Vivek, thank you so much for, you know, covering critical aspects currently, because there is so much euphoria in the market. So if I want to just summarize for our listeners in 4 points, the first would be all mid and small caps are actually not overvalued. There are pockets where mid and small caps still offer value because they are continuing to grow. When it comes to IPOs, we are very selective, and in most cases, we try to buy them in the secondary market after seeing their Q4 quarter performance. Third and the most important is definitely large caps are more attractive compared to mid and small cap. But again, not all large cap stocks are also cheap. Even they have gone up. Some part of the market in large cap has also done very, very very well. Fourth, and the most important again, in the short term valuations may be influenced by narrative, but in the long term, it is the sustainable earnings growth and return ratios that actually determine the multiple of the company. Vivek, I hope I have summarized pretty well for our listeners.
Yes, Ankit, you have aptly summed it up.
Vivek, if you have anything to end your conversation with me today.
So, Ankit, my message to the viewers and listeners would be to be patient with the markets. There will be times when the tiding is very good. There will be times when markets may not be good. But this risk and volatility is a very short-term phenomenon. If you elongate your investment horizon, the volatility definitely decreases. So not to be carried away by short-term sentiments, be patient, keep on investing. And when you invest in equities, it is for investment for growth. Equities is the only asset class which captures human growth. So have the discipline for investing. And as long as you do all these things, mutual funds will always be sahi hai.
Sure. Thank you, Vivek, for the last message from your side. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I shall end my podcast and hope to catch you soon.
Short and sweet and ever so insightful. That's how we've done it on this episode of PGIM India Insights, brought to you by PGIM India Mutual Fund. I think I set the context pretty well. It was a conversation filled with unique and counterintuitive insights, things that you might not peg, to be the case when you look at your stock market graphs every morning. And I think Vivek left us with a very, very good message, which is to just be disciplined, keep investing, and stay in it for the long haul, right? Because when it comes to equity in the stock market, this much is for sure. The phrase "change is the only constant" applies more to the stock market than it does to anything else in the world. For now, that's a wrap. Happy investing. We'll catch you on another podcast very soon. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay happy.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.